Welcome to Inspiration and Transformation from the Banks of the Ganga with Sadhvi Bhagwati Saraswati, an American sannyasi living at the Parmarth Nikatan Ashram in Rishikesh, India. Sadhvi is president of the Divine Shakti Foundation, a charitable organization bringing education, vocational training, upliftment, and empowerment programs to women and children. Sadhvi is also Secretary General of the Global Interfaith WASH Alliance and Director of the world-famous International Yoga Festival. Join the musings of an American sannyasi as Sadhvi shares the wisdom and teachings of her guru, His Holiness Pujya Swami Chidanand Saraswatiji.
Welcome, everyone, to Inspiration and Transformation from the Holy Banks of the sacred Ganga River in the land of Rishikesh, India. What is it that's keeping every single one of us from being a spiritual master? Because none of the definitions has to do with how many of the scriptures you've memorized, how much you can recite or chant. A master is one who's actually experienced, who knows. The difference between, for example, a guru and a teacher, not just semantically, but the real difference is a teacher tells you things. And that's great. It's wonderful. We need them. But a guru gives you the experience. So here's a way to think about it. If you took a class in oceanography from a wonderful oceanography teacher, you would learn everything there is to know about life under the ocean. But your clothes would still be dry. If you took an oceanography class with a guru, you would also learn about life under the ocean. But at the end of the class, you would be dripping wet. Because the guru gives the actual knowing, the actual experience. And so when we talk about a spiritual master, it's someone who knows. So it's not about I've read someone else's words, have memorized them, and am very adept at spouting them back. Different scriptures, different books, different languages. It's not about that. Mastery is how it has impacted me. Do I live? And so the interesting question about spiritual mastery for me is, what keeps us from living that? I know what keeps us from reading all of the spiritual books and memorizing them. Well, there's not necessarily enough hours in the day. People have different responsibilities, different priorities. Okay. Different duties, different dharmas. But what is it that keeps us all from actually knowing? From living it. Just ignorance. But an attachment to the ignorance. Because every moment we have the opportunity to see the truth because that spiritual mastery is within us. It's not something you need a book for. It's within you. Spiritual mastery is mastery of the self, the capital S self. And sure, books can point us there. Teachings can point us there. But the mastery is within. So what is it that keeps us when every moment we have the opportunity for the mastery? Why not? And that's our attachment to the ignorance. And so that's the question to take home. Why am I so attached to the ignorance? What is it about my story that is so compelling that I don't want to let it go? What is it about my attachment to this history, to this identity, to this role, to my drama, to my pain, to my suffering, that I don't want to let it go? What's that fear? That if I let it go, then what? And when we find the answer to that, because yes, for all of us, it's ignorance. But it takes a different flavor in each of us. Just like all of us are made up of the same elements, we're all carbon and nitrogen and hydrogen and oxygen. I mean, we're all made up of exactly the same stuff. The vast majority of our DNA is exactly the same. But those slight variations are what make us look physically different, what give us different abilities, different skills. That slight variation in the same ingredients is what gives us this beautiful variety. So in the same way, in our attachment and our ignorance, yeah, it's all made up of the same stuff. It's ignorance, it's fear, it's ego. But it takes a slightly different flavor in each of us. And so we each have to be able to look within and say, what is it in me that is keeping me, holding me back? What am I so attached to in my way of thinking, in my ignorance? What am I afraid I'm going to lose? Because until we know that, we don't realize how small it is. And then we don't have the courage to step into our own mastery. And then we live our lives stuck in these roles, stuck in these dramas, stuck in the ego. And that mastery is available to every one of us. It just requires an absolute piercing, vigorous, ruthless, you could say, commitment to truth in every moment. In every moment to be able to say, not this, not this, not self. That is not self. Yeah, we still go through the motions. We still buy groceries. We still go to work. We still fill the car with gas. We cook food. We chop wood. We do whatever we do. We change diapers. But those aren't the things that keep us stuck. What keeps us stuck is the workings of the mind. Why do I always have to change the diapers? Why do I always have to fill the car with gas? That's not fair. Why can't I get the full serve? Why isn't this guy white? That's what keeps us stuck. Not the pumping of the gas itself. Not the chopping of the wood itself. So with every moment, make a commitment to mastery of the self. What's the truth in this moment? What is my highest truth in this moment? Soul, spirit, consciousness, expansion, love. And the more you can keep coming back to that, then we all become the master. And that's what it's about. It's not about defining who amongst us is a master. It's about becoming a master. of the self. And that's our task, our global dharma. Whatever culture, whatever country, whatever religion, whatever role, whatever family, whatever, wherever you've been born, the one thing you can say for sure is that your highest dharma is that mastery. And yeah, you've got other duties along the way. We all play different roles. We have different duties. We're children of our parents. We're parents of our children. Some of us are spouses. Some of us are parents. Some of us have different roles, different whatever it may be. And we play those. We play them well. We play them sincerely. But we always remember our highest dharma is the mastery of the self.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. Can you define the ego? I feel like it is used in many different contexts. Please explain what the ego actually is and how to overcome it. The ego is that self which is created by us in ignorance, but very well-intentioned. It's important to realize there's nothing bad or wrong or evil. It's all very well-intentioned. It's just created out of ignorance. And it starts to be created in our childhood. Every time someone says to us, oh, you're the smart one. Oh, you're the athletic one. Oh, you're the pretty one. Oh, you're a good girl. You're a bad boy. Every one of these are all of the variations of the theme. Are all bricks in the construction of an ego. An ego is this way that we think of the self that isn't actually the self. Now, as we grow in childhood, the ego forms this sense of who I am. And so throughout our childhoods and then our adolescence, we go through a lot of this sort of identity. Am I an athlete or am I, you know, one of the smart kids or, you know, what type of person am I? As we grow and you start to learn, oh, this is my thing. This isn't my thing. I'm like this. I'm not like that. This is all the beginnings of the construction of an ego. The dilemma comes, is every one of those bricks is bricks in a wall. And it's a wall between us and truth. It's a wall between us and this expanded nature of the self, which ultimately is our true nature. If you rewind for a moment, who we really are, instead of starting with ego, we start with the truth. Who we really are is divinity. We're soul, long before we have an ego. Long before someone says to us, oh, you're a good boy or a bad girl or an athlete or a smart boy, long before we hear any of that, we're soul, we're spirit, we're consciousness. That's who we are. That's long before there's a body. Long before there's relationships, oh, that's my mom, that's my dad. Long before any of those expectations, we're soul. We then come into this world in a body to work through a karmic package. We won't go into all of these details, but it's important to have a bit of the chronology of how it all begins. So you've got soul, absolute, unbounded, infinite soul. That's who we are. We then come in the form of this body to have certain experiences, to clear certain karmic bank accounts. It's not only karmic debts. We talk about karmic debts, but they're not only debts. Sometimes the bank account is in the plus, but you've still got to clear it. So whatever is there in the bank, we've got to clear it, whether it's in the minus or in the plus. And in this body, we have experiences. And those experiences leave impressions upon us. And part of this body is our physical brain. And in the physical brain, all of these experiences get stored. So every time someone says to us, God, you are so beautiful, or, you know, maybe you should exercise more, or, oh, God, it's too bad that you're not as smart as your brother. Or, why can't you be more like your sister? Every time we hear any of those types of things, it gets stored in our brain. And it forms a piece, a brick, of who we think we are. And that forms the ego. And then, of course, as I move through the world, I move through it as ego. So if in my childhood, the bricks of my ego were bricks that always told me I wasn't quite as good as my older sister or my older brother or the girl next door or my cousin or my parents were when they were my age because they walked, you know, 50 miles in the snow to go to school and I'm such a spoiled brat and, you know, whatever it may have been in my childhood, that becomes the structure of my ego. And I then move through the world like that. I'm the one who's not quite good enough. Not as good as my sibling or the neighbor or the cousin or as I should be. And so whether it's in school, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in my relationships, I continue to create these patterns because this is what I believe about myself. When we talk about co-creating your world, co-creating your reality, our choice is to do it from a place of ego or from a place of truth. A lot of us oversimplify the ego. We think the ego is just arrogance. If you say, oh, someone's got a really big ego, it means basically, oh, they're really arrogant. But the ego isn't just arrogance. The ego is that whole false structure, that whole wall that I've created brick by brick. Again, very well-intentioned. It began in my childhood. I was just trying to understand things. I was just trying to figure out in the beginning who I am, separate from this breast out of which comes milk. That's where it begins. Who am I that is separate from this beautiful, infinite milk-giving machine? And then I realize I'm separate from it. And then who am I that's separate? And who am I separate from parents? Who am I? And so the ego is the answer to that. And it's important to know that it's really well-intentioned. It's doing its best for you. It's trying to understand. It's trying to put all of the cues it's getting from the world in place. Oh, I get it. Okay. So I'm not the smart one, but I'm the pretty one. Or I'm not the pretty one, but I'm the star athlete. So they're going to choose me for the soccer team, not because I'm beautiful or they like me, but because they know I'm going to win. Okay. So that's a brick in my ego. A way of understanding who I am. But you see, it's all false, whatever it is. Every example I've given, every one of them is false. Well-intentioned falsehood. Truth. Soul. Spirit. And so when we speak about freeing ourselves of the ego, it's about realizing this wall I have created is imprisoning me. Not because I'm bad, not because I'm dark, not because I'm wrong, but because I created it in good faith. I needed it in certain phases of life to kind of understand who I am. But now it's not serving me. Now it's actually separating me from truth. And the truth is unbounded. The ego is bounded. And so we're always trying to return back to the truth of our source. You know, every night on the banks of Ganga when we have our beautiful yajna ceremony, when I explain yajna and speak about it, one of the things that I always say is, you know, these flames of the fire, they always go higher and higher because the source of fire is the sun. And so fire is always trying to return to its source. Source of water is the ocean. That's why water comes down, fire goes up. It's trying to return to its source. All water on earth is moving down, moving back toward the earth, toward the ocean, because that's its source. Our source is boundlessness. Our source is infinity. And so if you look at so much of what we do in the world, it's actually our well-intentioned but unskillful ways of returning to that truth of unboundedness. So we eat too much. We shop too much. We engage in promiscuous sex. We acquire title after title. We take drugs or alcohol to give us an experience of being not bounded in this moment. We do lots of different things that give us this false experience of not being bounded by the self. So whether it's by eating so much that I feel expanded, shopping so much that I feel expanded, look, all these things are now part of me. It was in the shop window. I wasn't satisfied with looking at it. I needed to bring it home and own it so it's part of me. Now I'm expanded in some way. Or we take drugs or alcohol to give us that out-of-body experience. We have meaningless sex to give us at least that experience for a moment of being more than just me. Now suddenly it's we, that momentary experience of being expanded. We do so much well-intentioned, but unskillful, because none of those things actually gives us a real experience of the self. They're all just actually ways of getting farther from your truth. They're actually all things that just suffocate us more. They're things that stick us more into the body than actually give us that experience of expansion. But our intention is good. We just haven't gone about it the right way. And the only real way to go about it is dismantling that ego brick by brick by brick. And the only way to do that is to have the courage to realize that's not me. Not me, not me. It's like that beautiful neti neti practice of meditation. I'm not my shawl. Okay, we all believe that. I'm not my sari, okay? I'm not my skin. I'm not the blood. I'm not my muscles. And we go through piece by piece of us. I'm not this, not that, not this. Ultimately, not my thoughts. Well, we know that because thoughts keep changing, but I don't keep changing. And in those rare but precious moments of thoughtlessness, I don't disappear. I'm not my emotions. Because they keep changing. I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm frustrated, I'm despairing, I'm joyous, grieving. But I'm still here. So I'm not the emotions. We go through it piece by piece, not this, not that, dismantling that ego brick by brick. Until finally we are in a place of realizing there's nothing left to dismantle. And that's what gives us that true experience of spaciousness, that true experience of our source of infinity, not by acquiring more or stuffing myself with more or sticking my physical body against another physical body or ingesting chemicals to just change how my brain is for a few minutes or hours. But actually, an experience of truth. And so we dismantle it with love. And that's important, because remember, the ego was actually created to be your ally. It was created to help you. All of these bricks that you put there as you were growing to understand the world, to understand your relationship with the world, to make sense of that which was happening. Or you put them there because you believed the people who told you things. So the ego is not your enemy. But it's just something that now is blocking you. It's like Oh, all in the house. That, you know, now the family's expanded. Maybe the family used to be small, the wall was good. Maybe it protected you from the dogs outside or the people wandering outside. But now the family's expanded. Now we've got other family members in other rooms, and now we need to break down the walls so we can all be together. Now we need more space. So it's not about hating the ego or feeling badly about it. But it's about just dismantling it. Letting it dismantle itself. Because the other piece is, ironically, the more attention you give to it, the stronger it gets. So the greatest dismantler of the ego is to give yourself the real experience of expansion. All of that which gives you that real experience, prayer, meditation, ecstatic chanting, seva, service, through love. These are the ways in to that true experience of expansion. And then we just let those bricks of the ego slowly, slowly, slowly get dismantled. But it's not violent. It's not about taking a baseball bat to the ego and destroying that wall in one fell swoop in a violent way. No. It's just about gently, brick by brick, it gets dismantled. As who you really are becomes so expansive that it almost just pushes down the wall anyway. It no longer can be contained by that wall. And beautifully, awareness is a wonderful key, because the moment that something happens in my life that I realize is part of the ego, just simply naming it. You don't have to analyze it, go into it, work with it. Just, you look at it, you see it. I see you. That's a brick of my ego, I see you. And then we go back to the experience of expansion. And that's that I see you weakens that brick and gets it to fall. And so that's how we work with it. With love, awareness, and a continual commitment back to the truth of who we are, back to source. And that's why, by the way, interestingly, all of the words that we use to describe being in love, for example, or ecstasy, joy, they're all words of expansion. They're all, we talk about melting and merging and swimming and bathing, and we talk about fireworks and volcanoes, and right? All of these words are words of expansion. They're all words of this confined self actually experiencing the truth of what it is. Whether I'm melting into it, merging into it, swimming in it, bathing in it, whether a volcano expands me or fireworks expand, whatever it may be, they're all terms of expansion. Because that joy, that real joy, comes when we're back experiencing source. Just like fire back to the sun, water back to the earth. So the minute we realize all of the unskillful ways of expanding, we stop doing them. Because you realize, oh yeah, that doesn't work. Been there, done that, doesn't work. Good intention, but unskillful. And I come back to what does work.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Like Baldwin with People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. I grew up loving circuses and other traveling animal shows, but it never occurred to me what life might be like for the animals. Training wild animals to do things they don't understand takes force. Routine discipline with a hook or whip with the heel of a boot shows the animal exactly who's the boss. Don't patronize animal acts. Please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
757-622-PETA.
Welcome back. This is Sadhvi Bhagavati Saraswati with Inspiration and Transformation. In action opportunity to let go of the pattern. And what you need to realize is that Martin, who was miserable at 14, and even at 24, and at 34, and at 44, there isn't one cell of his being in you today. And the minute you decide, I'm not going to have these thoughts of misery anymore, you have that power. And you've seen it, as you were saying, in your days here, doing yoga, sitting on the banks of Ganga, walking in the mountains, you see the possibility. But you have to be the one to grab it and walk it. And what's important is don't start thinking in your mind, I'm not going to be miserable. Because what does that do? It makes miserable live in your mind. So instead of that, you're going to give yourself a whole new way of thinking. And it's, I'm so grateful for. And with every breath you take and every step you take, figure out what you are grateful for. And as you say, you want to, you know, become like Mother Teresa, like the Dalai Lama. It's beautiful. Walk like that. As you get up every morning, think, what does the Dalai Lama feel like when he gets up in the morning? Right? I mean, open your eyes as the Dalai Lama. What does he feel like when he opens his eyes up every morning? And then open your eyes like that. And what does the Dalai Lama feel like when he puts his feet down on the ground? He probably prays to Mother Earth, probably thanks Mother Earth. Do it. As he walks, I imagine him, and I'm making this up, but this is what I imagine he probably thinks about, is probably thank you for another day of being able to share with the world, another day of health and strength, because there's so much to be done, so many more people to touch and share and love and heal. So in your mind, think done. I now am going to move through the world like that. And allow your thoughts to be those thoughts. Don't be thoughts of what you're pushing away. Be new thoughts. How can I help? So your thoughts should be, I'm so grateful for, and what can I do? How can I serve? How can I give back? And if you allow those two thoughts to be the ones that occupy your mind, you'll find that every day you have more and more to be grateful for. And that every day you're able to serve and to give even more. And congratulations. Really, congratulations. Letting go of a heavy baggage that you've carried for 43 years, it's not easy. It takes a very, very special and very courageous, very strong person. You have that strength that you didn't think you had, but you have it. And the world is a much less scary place than your own mind, by the way. You're going to find that all those things you were scared of actually only exist in your mind.
You're listening to OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single...
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Inspiration and Transformation. I'm so glad to have you all back here with me. The only way to deal with fear is to realize that, first of all, that which we fear, as you just said, even if you begin by talking about fear of judgment, ultimately at the end where we are is fear of death. And if you say to most people, what are you afraid of? And they say judgment or humiliation or shame or failure or this or that. Ultimately, if you go, okay, and then what? And then what? And then what? It always ends up in, and then I die. Even if our experience is thinking we're going to die of shame or physically die, it's, and then I die. I cease to exist. And the truth is, you are going to die. Every one of us is going to die. And so the minute that we actually, not just intellectually, but experientially, are aware that not only are we going to die, but we are dying in every minute. We are walking closer to death every single minute. And so that ultimate thing that you fear, that worst case end result of the judgment, of the failure, of the shame, of the humiliation, of the loss, that end of the line, worst comes to worst situation of then I die, well, it's going to happen. It's the only guarantee. The only way around that is to realize you are not that which dies. You are not that which is shamed or humiliated or fails or is judged. The physical body, the identity, the history, the personality, the ego. This dies. But the truth of who you are, you're not those things. And the way that we know you're not those things is, how many times has your physical body changed? How old are you? 24. Okay, so every cell in your body has pretty much regenerated at least 3 times so far. About every 7-8 years, every cell of the body is regenerated. The skin cells are every few days. Blood cells, organ cells, longer. But the longest takes 7-8 years. So every cell of your being has regenerated. But you still say, I. Who is the I? What is it that's been continuous? You've been saying I since you were about 2 years old. But when you said I at 2, and then I at 12, and I at 22, and I at 24, what's consistent? Not the identity that we have about ourselves. If I said to your 2-year-old self, who are you? You'd tell me all sorts of fun things. If I said to your 12-year-old self, who are you? You'd tell me all sorts of different fun things. If I say to you today, who are you? Give me a different story. Something connected with this fear of judgment that my identity is wrapped up into. Not being judged. Not being seen in a negative light. But that's all story. It's not who you are. So when you focus on finding out who you really are, who is the you that isn't, yeah, soul? But that's an intellectual answer. You've got to feel that. Who is the you that can't be judged? Who is the you that doesn't need to be good enough? Who is the you who will never die? The more time you spend, the more energy you spend, the more attention you spend, rooted in that, the less attached you are to what people think of you, because you realize they're not seeing the true self. And you realize they're only judging me. Anybody who judges you, anyone, is living in their own jail of judgment. We only give to others that which we create inside, right? We were talking about the love manufacturing plant. So I can only give you love if I first start manufacturing it in myself. In the same way, I can only create hell for you if I'm manufacturing hell inside of me. Which means that all those people who create misery for others, who bring about pain and suffering for others, well, realize they're creating it in themselves. They're manufacturing it within them. And so if I'm going to be judging you, it means within me is the mechanism, and it's on, and it's functioning, and it's on overdrive, that is seeing in separation, that is seeing in judgment, that is seeing in illusion, in darkness, in ignorance. And so you stopped being bothered by that. And you start feeling compassion for that. Because you realize if they're judging me, they're in their own jail. But you make sure to stop judging yourself. Because other people's judgment of us only really stings if we judge ourselves. My favorite way of thinking about this is, if you say to me, "Oh my God, that is the most ugly purple mohawk I've ever seen," wouldn't impact me at all because I know I don't have a purple mohawk. So I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to feel like, "Oh my God, I'm not even going to go like this. I don't have to do this. I know I don't have a mohawk." But if you say something to me that I'm already in doubt about myself or that I'm already thinking about myself, it's going to sting. If you talk to me about my purple mohawk, you insult my purple mohawk, I'm just going to think either you're crazy or you're blind. Right? One or the other. Either you can't literally see and you actually think I have a purple mohawk, or your eyes are fine but your brain is bad. One or the other, right? Either the eyes are bad or the brain is bad, because I clearly don't have a purple mohawk. So in the same way, if someone is judging you and you know it's not true, it's not going to sting. It's only going to sting if I think what they're saying is true, because I'm already judging myself for it. And this is where only when I know the truth of myself, like I know I don't have a purple mohawk. So in the same way, I know that I'm not any of those things that I may be judging myself for. I know I'm enough. I'm whole. I'm full. I'm complete. I'm divine. I'm pure. I'm love. I'm truth. When I know I am all those things, then I feel compassion for people who either their eyes are bad or their brain is bad. But I don't move through the world afraid of them. This brings to a close this hour of inspiration and transformation. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so glad to be together with you all each week, and I look forward to being together again next Thursday, same time, on OM Times Radio.